Hello, my loves, and welcome to the Hungry for Healing podcast. My name is Emily, your host and newfound cheerleader when it comes to you healing your relationship to food once and for all. I know a thing or two about diet culture, insecurities around body weight, body image, disorderly eating, and overall just having a very poor relationship between yourself, your body, and your plate. I personally recovered from a 10-year eating disorder and started this podcast as a platform to share my own personal experience as well as the experience and science of others around their take on this food battle the world seems to be under. I hope you stick around if you're hungry to heal because you have an entire life to gain and a food struggle to lose as we venture on this journey together. Now let's get started. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the podcast today. I'm with Jan from Worth of Jan on Instagram. He has become an incredible friend of mine, even though we live halfway across the country from halfway across the world from each other. And today he's just going to kind of share his experience with eating disorder recovery, especially from a male perspective. I think Jan has a really good or a different, unique kind of way of looking at all of this and sharing his experience, especially in person and online. So I'll let Jan introduce himself and we'll kind of take it off from there. So thank you so much for being here, Jan.
Hey, Emily. Thank you so much. I am so honored and grateful to be in your podcast. And yeah, my name is Jan. I am from the Philippines. I am 17 years old and currently studying science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and currently recovering from an eating disorder and other mental issues.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I've always wanted to go to the Philippines, so this works. This is kind of like virtual visiting. So Jan, so you're 17. So tell us a little bit about kind of when, I guess, you started to notice that you struggled with food, kind of what that was like, you know, how old you were, and how it kind of transitioned into actually being a problem. Because I think my own story and so many that I talked to in the beginning, we weren't really aware that it was as deep of an issue as it was. And I think there's always kind of a transition period of like, it became such a bigger problem in our lives.
So I believe I might say it was when I was in eighth grade when I became more conscious on how I look and how I dress and how I see myself in the mirror. And that's the time when the bullies are coming and the judgments and opinions of others already affecting myself and how I see myself. And because of that, I constantly having a difficult time on my relationship on food. And when the pandemic came, I decided to start a change to weight loss because I think that's the only thing so that I will be happy and a lot of people will praise me and make me feel good. But after that, after I lost a lot of weight, I became more self-conscious and I feel so bad about myself, and I am self-diagnosed as having an eating disorder and depression and anxiety. All of the negative things are coming inside my head, and I totally feel bad about myself.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it always like somewhat stems from like the hope that if we control our food, we can control someone else. Like the same thing, like if we can control our diet, maybe we can control what the people at school think of us. Or like if we can control our food, maybe we can control that we get that job, right? Like I think as type A and perfectionists, we kind of link the two, that like they're one and the same. Like if we can just get our diet perfectly, then other people will think we're perfect. Our life will be perfect. And I had the same experience as you as well. I was actually in seventh grade. So mine was kind of still around the same time of like developing, like you're changing, I think your friendships are changing, a lot's going on in your life at that time. And you first begin to feel insecure and it's kind of hard to like deal with at first. Like you're not really used to feeling insecure about your body maybe, or insecure about your friendships and whatnot. And were you kind of aware at the time that it was a problem? Or I guess like, if you don't mind, like describing a little bit, like what was your relationship with food like, and how did it become kind of worse and worse over time?
I feel like when I look at my food, I feel like I have to count every single bit of that food, even though it is just a small portion. And I feel like totally worse if I exceeded on the calories I was planning to eat on that day.
Yeah, that's exactly. And I do. I think it all loops into kind of the, I like started out feeling like I was just going to eat really clean. I was going to eat like really clean. I was just going to like cut out like a quote unquote processed food and what are bad foods. And like, I'm putting quotes around those, but I was just going to eat super clean. But over time it started to get to that too, where it was like, I was so micromanaging my food that even like a piece of gum, if I like didn't count the piece of gum, then like my whole day was ruined and like I was ruined. And I still don't really necessarily know even my own reasoning behind it sometimes. And I think that's really important for people listening. Like, you cannot really know, and like, that's okay. It can take a long time to kind of get to the root cause of like why you did certain things with food, why you still maybe feel certain ways with food. Cause I think Jan and I can both attest, like, we've done a great deal of work in our recovery. And then there's still some like days or some like certain little quirks about it that are kind of a little bit more difficult to like tear down the walls around. And so for you, Jan, like when, so quarantine hit, and so you started actually kind of feeling the pressure to like lose more weight because it was kind of a weird time. And that's another thing I think so many people can relate to, is it was such an, it was such an uncertain time, and we love certainty. So we're trying to like control everything in our lives, control everything in our days. And how did you kind of get out of that? So over the past year, how did you kind of start your recovery, and what did that look like for you? I guess when was the first, because I get this question a lot, is like, when was the first moment that like you decided like you had to recover, or like what made it different?
So, sorry, okay. I am that type of person that I don't really want to talk about myself. I want all of the emotions, all of the opinions I have, all of the things and thoughts I have, I just want to keep it to myself. Even my mom, even my families don't know what is inside my head. And at that time, I feel so, so worse. And I feel like I can't do it anymore. I feel like I will burst in tears. I will burst because I just can't handle the darkness and the pain inside of me. And on that very day, I talked to my mom. I reached out to her, and she was shocked. She didn't knew that I was feeling that way for a very long time. And after that day, after I burst everything, after I share everything to her, I feel kind of good. I feel kind of like I have space in my heart. And tomorrow, after that day, I started making a recovery account and follow a lot of people, especially you. I first saw you on my Instagram suggestions and I followed you, and it really helped me to continue recovering.
Thank you, Jay. Oh my God. No, I thank you. I love that you said that like you decided to go to your mom. You're so sweet. That you decided to go to your mom. And because we always think that like the worst thing in the world is admitting that we're not doing well, but it's like one of the best things. Like, cause I had the same, for years, I was so terrified to say like, I'm not doing okay. And I was so terrified that other people would see that I wasn't doing okay, and that I wasn't imperfect, and I didn't have my life together. But the very moment, because I had multiple moments like that as well, where like I would tell my boyfriend at the time, or I would tell my mom or my friend, it felt incredible. Like, and it's so scary. It can be so scary to do it. It can be so scary to kind of get yourself into that mindset. But once you get it off your chest, and those kind of sayings where it's like, you just got to get it off your chest, you just got to get it out there, I do think it brings you a sense of, like, I now have space to heal myself. And it also brings you a sense of like, I don't have to do this alone. Because if there's one thing that like, I think any mental illness, but from our experiences and my experience, especially eating disorders, is they thrive on like being alone. They thrive on like you keeping it a secret, on you feeling like you can't tell anyone. Like, you know, I personally was diagnosed with anorexia, and when I was dealing with restriction, and then when I was also dealing with binging, it was the same thing. Like, I didn't want to talk about food around people. I didn't want to see food around people. Like, it was this like deep, dark secret that I had, and my disorder thrived off that, because then I was the only one hurting. I was the only one that felt like I couldn't ask for help. I was the only one that felt like no one understood, et cetera. And so, yeah, I think anyone listening, I think it can be really scary to admit to someone, especially that you're close to, that you might be struggling, but it really, honestly, it changed both of our lives. Like, it changed my life to say, I'm really struggling and I need help and I don't know how to get help, or I don't know what to do necessarily, but like, I need help. And yeah, that's awesome, Jen. And so from that moment, and you started your recovery account, and I love your account. So there's so many people that got to follow you, and which is, I had Gavin on last time and he was saying the same thing, where like he started his recovery account and then realized that there's so many people out there who are also going through it. And it's such a cool thing to realize that like you're not alone, you're not crazy, right? And so how has your recovery account helped you, and how have you kind of progressed then through your recovery, but also through sharing it and getting more comfortable with kind of sharing your feelings and I guess wearing your arm on a sleeve, so to speak?
So after I made my account, I feel so, so empowered. I feel so, so happy that I am not alone on this journey, and I have a lot of people and I have a lot of knowledge to learn. I have a lot of lessons that I learned. And because of my account, I can share what's inside my head and I can share it to other people. And I honestly didn't imagine that I can help a lot of people, and a lot of people can recognize and notice what I am saying.
Yeah.
Like that, you know?
Yeah. Like, I think, like, I mean, I just say this from my experience, like, I felt like I was crazy. I felt like no one thought the way that I thought. I knew people struggled with food, and I knew people had other eating disorders, but I didn't know that other people felt the same way that I did, like about feeling insecure, about like the perfectionism. Like, I talk about that a lot, about being a control freak. Right? I didn't know that like I wasn't alone, that like I actually wasn't unique necessarily. Like, most people have kind of all these different components going on, and it's what causes them to struggle with food, and they have different ways that help them not struggle and cope in different ways. And no, it's amazing to have a community that makes you feel included, but also seen. I think that's what I love about like the eating disorder community on Instagram, and from my experience, like online as well, is we are all one in the same, but also you're completely allowed, and you should have your own version of the story, right? Like, everyone, we all kind of have something that's different or something that's unique about us. And yeah, I think it's been such a cool thing for me as well in my recovery to have other people that understand exactly what I'm saying. And I don't have to kind of explain it or like go into detail about what I'm talking about. Like, they get it and I get it. And it's a beautiful thing to like be heard. And with that, I would love to hear, Jan, a little bit about like how it is being online as a male with an eating disorder, because I know that it can be very, very different from maybe what a female goes through or a non-binary person. And what's your experience kind of as a male who had an eating disorder?
Actually, I am kind of shocked that there are a lot of male that is also recovering from an eating disorder, because a lot of people are having this stereotype mind that eating disorders are only for women. And I am so, so happy that as a male recovering from an eating disorder, I have some people, some men that can help me to recover, and I can learn a lot of knowledge from them. And that proves that male or men can also ask for help, and asking for help is totally okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from my experience knowing people in my real life, it can look different. Like, eating disorders in and other genders and can look different, but they are still deep down, they're the same. Like, I think men tend to have a lot more pressure around having like that muscular, like gym physique, but it still can come from like really harsh dieting, like crash dieting, over exercising, like undernourishing. Like, it's still the same thing. I think sometimes the goals in mind can be a little different. And I think too, I have truly loved learning more about eating disorders that aren't just restriction, because from my experience and kind of what you went through, I had really only dealt with kind of restricting, like not eating a lot, trying to limit my food intake. I'd gone through phases of binge eating, but I think it was kind of more because of my restriction. Like, I didn't just have binge eating. And something I've loved to see online in every gender space is that there's also eating disorders that aren't restriction. There's eating disorders where you're just scared of certain foods. Maybe you constantly and like meticulously count your food, binge eating disorder, emotional eating. Like, there's all kinds of different facets, and every gender and every race deals with them. And I think the space is getting into a better place where that diversity can be seen and people can understand. And that only empowers other people to be able to talk about it. Cause I think, like you said, with males, especially, sometimes they can feel that it's not okay to show their emotions, that it's not okay to express how they're feeling or express that they need help. And it's heartbreaking because those people actually will then struggle more because it's kind of their only coping mechanism, or they could struggle more because it's kind of their only coping mechanism, and they don't feel like they're allowed to have another one, like crying or like talking to a friend, or, you know, things that maybe like I, as like a girl, like I tend to do more. So yeah, that's super cool that you've kind of seen that it isn't as different as you expected, or it's not as weird as you expected. And going through recovery, do you feel the same way? Like, do you feel like there's still enough resources for you? Do you still feel like you go through the same things kind of everyone else does? Like, I guess overall, what's been your experience in recovery just in general? And maybe how have you gone through, like, you know, body image is a huge one, or getting more comfortable with eating more food. Do you kind of have any tips for people who are kind of at those stages in recovery?
I think all I can say is that their opinions on themselves are the ones that totally matters. They don't have to listen to other people's judgments and opinions towards themselves. And I think that food is our friend. It is totally not our enemy. And that's totally the same with our body. Our body is our amazing friend, and we should not torture it just to look good on other people's eyes. And I hope that they will never give up, because giving up in life is not the solution. And I hope that they will continue to recover, and they should always remember that recovery is not linear. There are bad and good days, but they should hang on to have, and but they should have faith and believe in themselves that they can overcome this problem on their lives, and that they can gain knowledge and lessons from this experience that they were experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. No, you're so right. I think you said like two really cool things that I like really, well, I mean, you said amazing real things, but I think there were like two cool things that you kind of said that I really would love to like, that people do need to hear. And one is that it's not linear, and to not have the expectation that it's going to be. I think from my personal recovery, I always say that like being such a control freak and being such a perfectionist, which is kind of why I then struggled with food, I then went into recovery trying to be a control freak and like trying to be a perfectionist. And it every time it kind of still like, I quote unquote, like I kept failing myself because I had set up just these insane expectations again. So like in my disorder, it was like, you know, you're only going to eat this and move this and do this. And then in recovery, I kind of fell into doing the same thing. And I want people to know that like, it doesn't work like that. Like true healing and true recovery, it can take a long time, and it's not going to look like how maybe you think it will look your body might not look like how you think it will look at the end either. And it's just kind of working. I think it's working to let go of that control, like slowly let go of the control and just kind of go with the flow with what you eat, how you look. And on the flip side of that, how you talked about, it's not really the food. It's not really your body. It's the relationship that we have with them, or it's the status that they think that they carry, or it's the, like I kind of said in the beginning, like if we can control it, then we can control how people feel about us. And so I always really encourage people going through recovery, like to either have a therapist, have someone in your life that you can talk to, have a really good relationship with your journal, but you like need to write out really how you're feeling about things. Cause I remember when I like first started recovery, it was always kind of like, I don't want to eat food because like I don't want to eat these foods because these foods have a lot of calories. And I would kind of just stop there instead of being like, I don't want to eat these foods because they have a lot of calories and calories mean this about me and this about da, da, da. And like digging in deeper, cause it's never just about the food. And whenever I would try to just heal my relationship to food and not heal my relationship to like myself or like people in my life or other insecurities I was dealing with, like use anxiety, like depression, other factors going on, it just never stuck because it just wasn't deep enough and it wasn't getting to the root core of it. So yeah, I love that you shared that. I think it can be hard for people sometimes to see it that way, but I always say like, keep going deeper, like one question deeper. It's like, and what does that mean? And what does that mean? And what does that mean? And you'll finally find kind of like the core of it all. Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And I just want to tell other people that are also struggling right now that just like what I have said on my recent post, we have to reflect on questioning ourselves if are we really afraid of gaining weight, or are we just afraid of what other people may think about us when we gain weight? Yeah. Because when we just focus on what other people may think on us when we gain weight, then we will not find ourselves. We will not heal ourselves.
That's a great point of view for everything. It's because it's always like, it's like, okay, like, yeah, like I'm fine if my body changes, but what will people think? Or like, okay, yeah, I'm fine to like eat more, but like, what will people, it's always like the second, it's like connected. And if you do just focus on your own sort of path, like, and I know people listening, that can sound so difficult, maybe where they are right now. And Jan and I can both attest, like in the beginning, it's super difficult. Like, and it can be difficult for a long time. But for me, I think it finally really hit home when I did that, when I started just thinking about myself and how I would feel. And with that, like kind of to loop the whole story in a circle, like I was the exact same way where when I was my smallest and I dieted my most, I felt my worst. And I think so many people can relate to that. Like I was exhausted. I was so like anxious all the time. And I felt incredibly insecure, even though this was supposed to be like when I felt super great about myself and confident, like all this stuff, like I felt terrible. And so when then I went through recovery and gained weight and started healing my relationship to food, I actually felt really good. And of course, like I have days all the time that I'm like not totally thrilled with what I look like or like not totally thrilled with how my clothes fit, but feeling, you feel so alive. Like you feel like you can like focus and concentrate and like go for a walk and have a conversation. And so I always say too, as well, like focus on feelings, not your image, because the image part will come. It's kind of falling in love with yourself, but then also how you're feeling and how you're thinking and how you're seeing yourself, not just your image. I think people get really hung up on like falling in love with their body image. And it's so much deeper than that. Once again, it's like falling in love with yourself and who you are.
Yes, I honestly feel so great now that I am in recovery. I realized that because of my struggles on eating disorder, that I constantly focus on myself, that I constantly focus on food, I left behind the things around me, my family, my friends, all the things that I have around me. I kind of lost them because I was just focusing on what my food is and what my body is. And because I am in recovery right now, I discovered a lot of things. I explored a lot of things. I can now go for a walk. I can now have time for my family and friends. And I'm so happy that I am feeling so great.
Oh, damn, that's wonderful. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. And like you do. You just I love your account. I love speaking with you because you do share that and you can see it. Like you can see that you're just so full of life and that is what recovery is all about. And it's stepping stones and it can take some time, but that is the true like end of it all is to just not think about yourself so much. Like that's what I don't really think necessarily every day, like, oh my gosh, I love my body. I look great. Yay. I just don't really think about it that much. And that's like what we kind of want to get to, where there's just not so much power and emphasis on it. And yeah, and everyone will get there. Like those thinking, like you will get there 100%. So thank you, Jan, so much. If you had one more thing to kind of share with people, maybe your sort of like biggest lesson, maybe that recovery has brought you, or just really anything you'd like to share, what would you say it is?
I just want to say that we don't have to give up, and we don't have to listen to what others think about ourselves, because we have ourselves. It is ourselves. We don't have to make ourselves feel bad just to look good on other people. And I just want to tell other people that food is amazing. Food can really help us, and food is really important in our lives. And yeah, I hope they will hold on, and we can all get through this, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would like to second that. So thank you so much, Jan, for being here. Like, I really appreciate it. I know so many people are going to reach out to you. So if you'd like to find Jan, I'll have everything linked in the description of this episode, as well as on Instagram, everywhere else. So you can definitely connect with him, share maybe your experience with him, with myself. And we just really appreciate everyone being here listening. And I would like to reiterate as well, like, you never have to give up. It can take as long as you need. It can be as painful maybe as you need it to be. It can be as hard, but you can always keep moving forward. And your recovery doesn't have to look like other people's. If you need a little bit more time, if you need a little bit more resources or help or whatever it may be, like exactly how Jan said, that's what you need. And that's all that you have to focus on. So.